As Jeroen said, I will read a couple of verses from Isaiah 40 and begin at verse 25. Isaiah 40, 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. At his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want to share a couple of thoughts on a part of the last verse, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Some translations have those who wait for the Lord. This is a verse that is kind of dear to me, but sometimes also I wonder, does it work? Hope is very powerful, very important, but still, I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel I can use a little more strength. Especially when I've just had a cold and still recovering from that. How do we understand that? It's not just a magic formula that works all the time. I think it's also something to challenge us. And thinking about that, and that's the main thought I want to share with you this morning, it only works if the God we hope for, is a great and powerful God. If you make him too small, we are kind of dependent on our own. We are at the end of a year. Well, a lot has happened. And we're looking forward to a new year. And, in Europe we are having elections, also in the Netherlands. What will happen then here? I read that persecution of Christians has increased over the last year. What will happen there? And maybe our own life. How maybe it's going well, but maybe we are struggling. Maybe we long or desire for something that is not happening. Or maybe we are just struggling. How will it go through the new year? What do we hope for? And is that hope something that can give us strength? Isaiah is here addressing people who are in exile. They lived in Judah, around Jerusalem, and they expected their God to protect them. Jerusalem had that big temple, and they had that story a long time ago of that king that was, when the city was sieged by a big army, God saved them. And now another big army is standing before the gates and they expect God to save them. but he has not. He kind of left them, and the temple of the Lord was destroyed. The city was destroyed. And now they are deported far away to another country, another environment. Those are the people that are addressed. And maybe we can connect to those people. What is their hope? What's their expectation? And Isaiah 40 to 55 is addressed especially to those people. And there's something strange happening there. Instead of keeping on to complain, as Jeroen also read, the prophet is trying to give them new hope. And he does that by emphasizing how great God is. And the whole chapter, when you read that, we read the final verse of that, it's emphasized. God is the creator of heaven and earth, of the whole universe. Everything is his hands. It's in that context that Israel is quoted as complaining, why my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God. When you read that in this context, you wonder where's that question coming from. God is huge. And early on, the nations are kind of belittled. They are small in the eyes of the Lord. And we have to imagine that the people are driven out of their own country, forced to live somewhere else by one of the most powerful empires that history has known. But the prophet is saying, well, that's big empire. It's nothing in the eyes of the Lord. And it's from that God that he invites us to draw strength. For that we have to realize that God is a big and great God. We get into problems when we make God too small. And one way to do that is if we tie God to our needs and our desires. Many of us have those desires. They pray to God and they want God to do this or that. And we hope that then life will be okay. What we do then is that we tie God to that need. It's like a small child. Small children depend on their children. And always, I don't know if you remember that from your own life or brothers or sisters or are a parent yourself. But they ask for all kinds of stuff. As a parent, you know what is good and what's not good. If we go down to the level of the child, we make ourselves smaller. And I think less trustful for the child. It's what we all can do with God. We can make the center of our life with God the things we want. Also in the coming year. We can let fear run our life. Because we live in a world that a lot can happen. In our personal life, but also with climate change and political changes. What will happen? And we can make that the center of our life with God. And we will discover that often God will not answer that. Because he does not think that's right for us. And that to hope in that God that will give us what we desire, I believe it will make us tired and weary. To hold all, we need a God that is greater than that. There's still somewhere room for our needs and our desires. But when I read this chapter, it's about that big God that holds everything in his hand. And only if we hope for that God, I think we can find the power to refresh our energies. That we know that everything that controls our destiny is in the hand of God. He has created everything. He controls everything. And he will be there with us in everything. And he may not give us everything that we desire, but he knows what good is for us. That's not a God we can always understand. It's God beyond our understanding. And in the Bible, that's a positive thing. Because if God is beyond our understanding, also when we don't understand, we can reach out to that God. The point is not that we understand. The point is that we trust. You're like that little child that gives his or her father a hand and knows it's safe. We can go. That is one thing that can help us to renew our energies. That we trust this big and great God who has created everything, who will not let go his work. Maybe some of you are coming from tradition that where this is well known. And God, who is controlling everything, the danger can be that we make it impersonal. That God is controlling everything, but he is kind of just abstract and far away. It's good to remember that the God Isaiah is speaking of here is the God of Israel. And when we draw to ourselves, it's our God that cares for us, that loves us dearly, as he has shown in Jesus Christ. He did not stay far away, but came close to us. It's the God who can say that gives his life for us. It's that God that we are asked to trust. That God that controls everything. If I think in that way about God, somehow this verse, that it makes sense. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I will not always get what I want, but it invites me to make God the center of my life. It's, I don't know if I've told it before, but the first that I received at my baptism was Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the wishes of your heart. As a young man, I first liked the second part. He gives the wishes of my heart. And I remember that I was kind of annoyed when I read the meditation that said, well, when you read this verse as a whole, when you delight in the Lord, your life changes. And also your desires changes. It annoyed me because I felt, well, my desires are also important. It's something I want. Over the years, the first part became more and more important. And even if I was annoyed in the beginning, I have to say, desires do change. And somehow I've learned that God became bigger. And I could trust him more, even if I understood less. I would like to invite us all, going through the new year, Let's, for example, take the Lord's Prayer, our Father, as a heart for our own prayer. It says very little about our needs. It has that part about our daily bread. But it says a lot about God and God's plan. Let's make that the center of our prayers. It starts with that prayer, hallowed be your name. Your name, we pray to God, let that be honored. Let your name be honored in our life, in my life. Let that be the biggest passion for us. Let's pray that. And I believe that our life will change. And we get to know God in new ways. We learn to know how great God is. What is in his heart. That means that we move a little away from the daily needs of our existence. They are still important. But if we tie God to that, we make him small. And he's bigger than that. So let's trust and pray to that God. That he'll also in the coming year, among us, in us, in each of us, but also as a congregation, he will be honored. Amen.